Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Into the Night with Sean Kelly, the Sunday night edition on UPRNRadio.com, 106.5.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi. And I'm sorry I'm a little bit late, but there's some technical difficulties, which is like my whole entire life sometimes. But you know what? That's okay. We're going to take care of the business. And everything is going to be okay. I want to thank Carnation for sponsoring me on my shows on Sunday night and Tuesday night. So what's going to happen is here right now is that I'm just like a little bit, I don't know, crazy, I guess you want to say. So I'm going to do the best I can for you guys tonight. All right. So what a week, huh? What a week. I mean, Thursday I got some bad news for everybody. Not everybody, but for me. I'm not looking for sympathy here. I really am not. But I need to tell you where I'm coming from. I do have cancer. Okay, I do have it. I don't want sympathy or nothing like that. I have cancer on my thyroid, and they're going to have to take the thyroid out, right? The cyst is like 9 millimeters. It's like really huge, you know? I found out when I got the biopsies done on Thursday. And you know what? It's going to be a life-changing thing for me. But for the grace of God, thank goodness. You know, it's not as bad. Okay. I mean, it's not traveling through my body or nothing like that, but it was different. It really, really was different. And so that's what, you know, I'm coming to grips with, you know. I don't know. I kind of saw it coming because, you know, before, maybe a month before, I remember I was telling you I was going through all those doctor's appointments and stuff like that. And it's like, and they kind of hinted that I might have had it, you know, but wasn't really, really sure about it. But now I finally got the definite answer about it. And you know, to be honest with you, it's kind of crazy. I'm kind of okay with it, you know. I am, and all we can do is what I can do, you know, is to see where it goes from now until whenever, you know. I do know that they're taking the whole thyroid out, and I know that I'm going to be on hormone medicine for the rest of my life. But you know what? The good thing they did tell me, doctor did tell me, was that I won't have to take my thyroid medicine anymore. So I'm kind of happy on that because I take so much. It's unbelievable. But that's what's going on with me. Okay. It's been raining a lot up here. I put my garden in, you know, things are sprouting and I'm kind of happy that it is, you know, dump some fishing, you know, I'm trying to stay busy because I will tell you this, okay, and I'm sure there are other people out there that have thyroid problems too. And the one thing for me was that I get tired very, very easy, okay, I get really tired. And, you know, when I get up in the morning, I psych myself up and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. And you know what? I end up doing none of it because I'm too damn tired to do it, you know. And, you know, a lot of people say, you being lazy and stuff like that. But, you know, but that's not the point here with it, okay? The problem is this is what my body reacts to my thyroid, you know. So So in the future, you know, they are going to take it out, and I do believe I'm going to be off for about a week or two. So there's going to be a couple weeks where I might not be able to do my show. But either I'll find somebody to replace the 2 weeks that I'm gone, and then maybe I'll get a couple pre-recorders in. Who knows? But I tell you what, I'm not going to let you guys down, okay? I'm not going to let you guys down at all. And we're going to go from there, because I know a lot of people out there really enjoy my show. And I enjoy your company. I enjoy people coming in and sharing. Now, right now, I am on my phone because they had to send a link to me. So I really, really right now can't see, you know, the messages that are in the chat room. Okay. And that's okay. You know, and I'm sorry that I don't respond to your questions. But for everybody that is in the chat room, for everybody out there who is just listening in, I have to tell you that I love you all, man. I really, really do. I really respect, I love, and there's not a bad thing I can say about all the people who listen to my show. There's not a lot of bad things that I can say. There's not one bad thing to say about my family here at UPR and Talk Radio. They're not, they're the best. They're the, you know, every single one of the hosts that are on here that do have their show that you can listen to on this wonder, this great team, this great platform. Again, that's UPR and Talk Radio, 105.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi. But it's just like, it's a beautiful place to be. You know, I can actually talk to these people, to my friends here that run the other host, you know, and do their own shows. And I would have to say that I'm very, very lucky to have these friends, you know. Some are in Canada, some are out west, some are down south, some are out east, some are out, you know, the west coast, California. But we all have one thing in common right now. And the thing in common is to get out messages, to get out shows that people can actually listen to. It could be paranormal, it could be conspiracies, it could be Bigfoot, it could be animal medicine totem cards. It could be anything out there that that you need some information on. Or if you just want to listen to cryptids, about cryptids and Bigfoot and stuff like that, or the paranormal, okay? And it's here, this whole platform that I'm on and everybody else is on, we talk about that, you know? So, you know, if you're not doing anything during the week or during the day and you want to turn on, you know, go to the UPR and Talk Radio, please do, and I can guarantee there are all kinds of podcasts going on right now on that platform, okay? So tonight, now I'm starting to relax because I'm starting to talk. if that sounds anything, you know, I don't know. I just know I'm home now, and I'm on, and I'm sharing my stories with you. But tonight I'm going to talk about the Titanic. And to be honest with you, and you're asking, well, how in the hell can you be talking about the Titanic, Sean? You know, a long time ago, they had the movie. They had that dude go underwater and find the Titanic and all this stuff. And, you know, they had their, I guess at the Carnegie Science Museum, they had all kinds of stuff from the Titanic that they put on display. You know, and I'm thinking, I was in the library preparing for last week's show, okay? And all of a sudden, the Titanic just popped into my mind. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do a show on the Titanic. And I was like, And so I started to read a little bit about it, okay? I did. I started to read a little bit. And, you know, it's crazy. There is a lot of mysterious things that happened because of, after, you know, came out after the ship sunk. There's a lot of conspiracies. There's a lot of, you know, talk about J.P. Morgan, you know, who made a lot of money with the Titanic sinking. And I think he wanted to start the Federal Reserve. I'm not sure. There are other ships in the areas that were there that really didn't come to the rescue. Some, you know, ships heard, you know, on the radio that they're having some problems, but come to find out after a certain amount of time, they quit broadcasting. Or I do believe it was the ship Californian that the guy who ran, you know, the messages and stuff, just shut it off and went back to bed. But there's just so many things about that whole situation. Okay, there's some people that claim that they were it was a different ship. That it was actually the Olympic, okay, and not the Titanic. And even to this day, they proved that it was the Titanic that went down. But there's still a lot of people out there saying it was a ship that was switched, you know. So what I'm going to do now, okay, I'm going to be going to my notes here, the ones I got from, and I got to give kudos to the Castle Shannon Library, because them girls out there really, really helped me print the papers that I need to print. So, okay. So I'm going to my papers. But you know what I was thinking about this before I continue to show? This is going to be a two-part show, okay? A two-show show. And part two is going to be on this Tuesday coming up. Because there's just so much information that I found out, right? And that it definitely needs, because you also got to look on the other side. There's a lot of conspiracies that go along with this too. You know, so it's just not, I just cannot do it in an hour. So I'm going to need another show, which will be this Tuesday coming up, and talk about the second half of it. And I'm okay with it, you know. The big thing it says here, right? I got my paper right here. It says the Titanic, a big thing about the Titanic was the speed, how fast it was going that night. Okay, that's you know, I'm going to read a little here. The judge who fed the British Inquiry into the Titanic disaster, John Charles Bingham, and there was no reduction in the speed in the icy movements. However, Mr. Moulton said that every captain who testified at the inquiry said they would have done the same thing. I'll say about the speed on that. Okay, last year, it was kind of like a race. Okay, the captain who is, what the hell's his name? Captain Edward Smith, okay. Well, he wanted to break a record. So he wanted to get from, England over to the United States in a faster time than they did last year. And that's how he played. Mr. Moulton also said that the Captain Smith was a commodore of the White Star Line, had captained all flagship vessels. Smith was popular with crew who loved sailing under him. Instead of seeking a lifeboat for himself, he chose to help women and children get to safety. Mr. Moulton said the first-class promenade, meanwhile, was almost completely free of lifeboats, with meaning that the first-class passengers could stroll and admire clear views of the Atlantic on either side. And what I mean by that, okay, they only put 20 lifeboats on the Titanic, okay, and there was like 2,300 people who were actually there on the ship. And I do believe that 1,500 of them died. But they wanted to make this the Titanic really fancy so people had more space out on the weather deck. And anybody in the Navy knows what the weather deck is, then, you know, it's a deck outside. So they decided not to put too many lifeboats on. They didn't put more on. Although it seemed unsinkable, now Titanic's selling point was clearly its grandeur and luxury, not its safety. So that was the whole deal when they built this. It was all about luxury. And I guess, you know, back then, the people who built that ship, I guess they feel like that it was a big ship and it was strong and powerful. But they never thought about safety for their people. But people back there, I don't know. You know, if I knew there was only 20 boats, you know, 20 lifeboats on that ship, do I think I would go? No, I wouldn't do that. But you also got to remember, too, out of that 2,300, a lot of the Irish immigrants worked on the Titanic. A lot. I mean, that was their job. They were boiler people. They kept the fires going so for the ship's engines and stuff like that. And so they were like way below that. And they were never allowed to come up. You know, so, you know, I think the Irish people just got a raw deal on that. And it's crazy that I say that because the Titanic was built in Ireland. Yes. Additionally, it was anticipated that the Titanic would need its lifeboats to hold all passengers at the same time. Instead, if Titanic were to encounter any trouble, its lifeboats were to be used to ferry passengers off Titanic and onto a rescue ship. Tragically, many of the Titanic lifeboats that did launch weren't filled to capacity because certain crew members mistakenly thought they couldn't hold the weight. What a shame. Okay. It's worth bearing in mind that the Titanic's dangerously old-fashioned safety regulations regarding lifeboats originated nearly 20 years earlier when the largest passenger ships weighed 10,000 tons. And that the Titanic was actually 46,000 tons. Perhaps more than anything, the Titanic was not expected to founder a White Star Line publicity brochure in 1910 said of the Titanic and the sister ship Olympic. And that's how, at the beginning of the show, I was telling you about how the ships were swapped. But at the time of the sinking of the Titanic, okay, the Olympic was actually in dry dock in New York getting repaired. So you can throw that one out the door, that conspiracy on that. Whatever happened to Captain Smith? Captain Edward Smith died the night the Titanic went down. But what exactly happened to him is much more of a mystery. See where I'm coming up with all these mysteries and stuff like that? I mean, you could probably talk forever. Smith, who had planned to make the Titanic his final voyage before retiring, went down with the ship, which was the maritime tradition at the time. But there were several different accounts from survivors of where he was last seen and how he died. In Cameron's 1997 film, played by Bernard Hill, is shown as shutting himself in the wheelhouse on the Titanic's bridge as it fills with water, allegedly based on testimony from some survivors. But you also got to remember, too, okay, now that was based on survivors. But you have to realize, okay, how can you actually tell what the captain was doing? Because you're trying to get your ass off that damn ship into the lifeboat, you know, in order to survive. So how can you actually say, all the captain was doing is, he wasn't in his free. Who knows what he was doing? So that's the captain's job back then. That's the captain's job even today. If that ship is sinking, that captain's the last one to go down on it. That's his job. Yeah. So I don't know. That's something about a little bit of the ship itself and why it actually went from Ireland over to New York, the sailing expedition, and then about the captain of the ship. You know? Okay. All righty, let's see. Launch of the White Star Liner, RMS Titanic, was launched in Belfast, Ireland, May 31st, 1911. Over the next year, her engines and funnels were installed and her interior was fitted. They put that down. One of which first class passenger, Robert William Daniels, said, "I saw Captain Smith on the bridge. My eyes seemingly clung to him. The deck from which I had lit was immersed." No. Water had risen slowly and now the floor of the bridge, and it was the Captain Smith's waist I saw no more when he died here. Other survivors, including the wireless operator Harold Bride, said that they've seen him jump off certain parts of the ship. While there still said Smith had swum to the lifeboats holding an infant. As author Win Craig Wade wrote in his 1992 book, The Titanic, End of the Dream, Captain Smith had at least five different deaths from heroic to ignominious. However, he perished. Smith's body was never found. Now, again, insane stuff. Insane craziness. You know, I just like how people try to say, well, if the captain decided, you know, to take a flying leap or decided to run away and hide and get on one of the passenger boats, so what? You had to survive out there. But eventually, more than likely, he passed away. You know what I mean? He did pass away on it. And you know what? That's okay. You know, that was his job. It wasn't okay that he died, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, it was just like, it just happened. But it's amazing how you got people, you know, looking and giving their eyewitness a thing going, and they sounds like they're trying to make this like a book or something. And I don't know. Why couldn't people just say, you know what, dude, he died, so, you know, deal with it. Oh, that sounded bad. I'm sorry about that, everybody. Didn't kind of like got you mad or something when I said that, but you know what, that's okay. The disaster in the Atlantic. How more than 1,500 lost their lives when the Titanic sunk? The RMS Titanic sank in the North Atlantic Ocean on April 15, 1912. After colliding with an iceberg during her maiden voyage from the Southamptons to New York. More than 1,500 people died when the ship, which was carrying 2,224 passengers and crew, sank under the command of Captain Edward Smith. Some of the wealthiest people in the world were on board, including property tycoon John Jacob Astor IV, the great-grandson of John Jacob Astor, founder of the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Okay. Now, here's another conspiracy, and I think I'm not a conspiracy, a lot of rumors. We'll say rumors instead of conspiracy. Okay. At the time, when the Titanic, sunk, you know, there was a big thing about the Federal Reserve. There were people who wanted the Federal Reserve, and there were people who did not want to be in the Federal Reserve. And so the history is J.P. Morgan. Now here's the story, okay? And according to Snoops, you know, it was a lie, but it could be. J.P. Morgan didn't go on that, even though he had a ticket, he didn't go on that Titanic. And come to find out that he made a ton of money when the Titanic sunk. And with the money that he, you know, supposedly made when the Titanic sunk, That's how the Federal Reserve started. Okay. There was a lot of shaky, sneaky kind of stuff going on, and it gets better. But you know, I'm not going to be able to get to all that tonight. That's why I'm having that second show on Tuesday, and I hope you guys can all come and check it out with me. I would truly appreciate it, because we're going to have some juicy stuff, some juicy rumors, not conspiracies, some juicy rumors to tell y'all. Some of the wealthiest people in the world were on board, including property John Jacob Astor IV. He was the great grandson of John Jacob Astor, the founder of the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Okay. Then there was the millionaire Benjamin Guggenheim, heir to his family mining business, also perished along with Isidor Strauss, the German-born co-owner of Macy's department store, along with his loyal wife, Ida. Huh. The ship was the largest afloat at the time and was designed to in such a way that it was meant to be unsinkable. It had an onboard gym, libraries, swimming pool, and several restaurants with and luxury first-class cabins. There were not enough lifeboats on board for all the passengers due to the out-of-date maritime safety regulations. That's interesting. You figured if you built a new liner, okay, that's going to, you know, have all these people on it, and not just that night when it sank, but, you know, if it survived that, then you're going to need more boats. I think it was kind of little rumor going on there that they really didn't want this thing to survive, or that some of the people on there, they didn't want them alive either. Some of the rich people, you know. And so, I don't know. The more you read into it, the more you have to say to yourself, wow, what the hell's going on here, you know. After leaving Southampton on April 10, 1912, the Titanic called at Cherbourg in France and Queenstown in Ireland before heading to New York. On April 14, 1912, 4 days into the crossing, she hit an iceberg at 11:40 p.m. ship's time. James Moody was on night watch when the collision happened and took the call from the watchman asking him, "What do you see?" And the man responded, "Iceberg that had by 2:20 a.m. with hundreds of people still on board, the ship plunged beneath the waves, making many, including Moody, with it." Despite repeated distress calls being sent out and flares launched from the decks, the first ship, rescue ship, the RMS Carpathia, arrived nearly 2 hours later, pulling more than 700 people from the water. And it wasn't until 1985 that the wreck of the ship was discovered in two pieces on the ocean floor. Now, as I say that. Interesting, huh, guys? So it so as I continued reading, you know, and stuff, and thank God for the Castle Shannon Library, that's all I could say. What was crazy was they, you know, as I just read, that the ship broke in half. But here's the deal, okay, that Captain Smith wanted to make it from Ireland over to New York in under a certain amount of days, okay? So, you know, back at that time, that they had coal fire, you know, in order to let the engines go. You know, they had to use coal. And the guys were really putting a lot of coal into the fire that, and when they got so hot, okay, because it was moving quick, got so hot, that there was a lot of slag that was on the rivets that were on the ship. And what happened was, before the ship went down, caused by the fire, that's what made the Titanic split in half, because of the fire aboard the ship. Okay. And it wasn't split due to the iceberg. You know, the more you read into it, the more that you look into the way the ship was going, okay, it couldn't have happened. You know, the Titanic split in half with that, you know. And it's just a bunch of craziness. Personally, me, okay, if I was in an ice field, if I was in the ocean where there were icebergs all around, I sure as hell wouldn't be going fast. You know, so what? I wouldn't be doing it. No, there are people on board. But some of the people that I have mentioned that were on board that thing, they were against on a lot of stuff that other rich people wanted to have. It was all about the money, you know? And you cannot deny it when you see who went there on the cruise and the ones that just canceled at the last minute. Crazy, you know? And I guess with it going down, and if that rumor is true about J.P. Morgan making a lot of money off the sinking of the Titanic, okay, and then with that money, he started the Federal Reserve. Craziness. And then, and this is what they're saying. It's a rumor. No conspiracy. It's a rumor. Okay. So there's a lot of shady businesses going on down there at the time. You know? And this is what it makes it like really intriguing, because when we get into the show on Tuesday night, there's a lot of things on there that I'm going to bring up. There's like 10 or 12 things that were puzzling, that kind of like caused the ship to sink. And the big one, and I'm going to give you one right now, okay? The guy who was in charge of the binoculars for the people who were on watch, they never got one. They never got binoculars. No, never did. And whoever was in charge of that should have had them out and given it to people. Because think about it, if you're out on your watch and you see that thing coming straight ahead, you know, up to the distance, you know, there's a way that you can maneuver and get through that iceberg. You know? So was there some thing going on with the people who were the officers who were running the show on the boat? Was it, you can go on forever. You can go on many, 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 many rabbit holes on this situation. You can. Okay. You definitely can. Well, let's see if I have a couple of other things. Okay, let's see what we've got. Okay. So we're back to how fast the ship was going. Okay. Excuse me while I get a little drink of tea here. Okay. So here we go. All right. The Titanic basic facts. All right. Was constructed by a Belfast-based shipbuilder, the Harland and Wolff, between 1909 and 1912. The RMS Titanic was the largest ship afloat of her time. Owned and operated by the White Star Line, the passenger vessel set sail on her maiden voyage from Southampton, England to New York, April 10th, 1912. The liner made two short stops en route to her planned the Atlantic crossing, one at the French port of Cherbourg, I guess that's how you say it, and the other at Cork Harbor. I have family that live in Cork Harbor too. Ireland, where smaller vessels ferried passengers on and off the boat Titanic. On April 14th, the Titanic struck an iceberg at around 2340. And what I mean by 2340, if you were not in the Navy or anything like, or military time, 2340 is 11:40 p.m. Okay, just on local time. Generating 6 narrow openings in the vessel's starboard hull, believed to have occurred as a result of the rivets in the hull snapping. The ship sank 2 hours and 40 minutes later. In the early hours of April 15th, and an estimated 1,570 people died. Okay, so why was the Titanic going fast? And remember, I was talking about that a little bit earlier. I found my notes on here. And it is well known that the Titanic was almost at full speed when lookouts spotted the iceberg late on April 14, 1912. The unsinkable liner was going at around 22.5 knots, or 25 miles per hour, just half a knot below its top speed of 23 knots. The Titanic captain, Edward Smith, powered the ship through the Atlantic, even though there had been ice warnings from neighboring ships. So why was it going so fast through a known iceberg field at night when visibility was low? Craziness, huh? And let's see. Okay. I just lost all my things for it. Okay, hold on. The limp. Okay. Okay, so increasing the rate at which the coal in this bunker was removed and put into the boilers would have allowed the ship's workers to control the fire, but this would have sped up the ship up, he said. Essenhigh claimed that the crew of the Titanic couldn't have been trying to break any records crossing the Atlantic because the ship was built for comfort, not speed, and was advertised as such before its voyage. And the theory was repeated in 27th documentary Titanic. And here's the deal with it. Okay, there were a couple ships that were there, and I'm going to discuss those ships that were there but did not help. But the one was the SS Californian, you know, and it said the Titanic, they sent up flares from the ship for help. But at that time, they had two different types of flares. They had white flares and they had red flares. And the white flares was just like a party of some sort. Everything was happy-go-lucky. But the ship did not have any red flares. So if you would be out at sea and somebody shot a red flare up into the sky, okay, there would be a lot of problems along with that. Okay, a lot of problems. And then the ships would do something. But I don't know. I believe, you know, and from what I feel, and you know, I trust what I feel. I think the ships that were there, some of the captains were kind of like, I would have to say jealous. Now, correct me, I might be wrong, who knows, but that's the feeling I get. The nearest vessel in Titanic's vicinity when she foundered was the SS California, a smaller steamship bound to Boston, Massachusetts, captained by Stanley Lord. It wasn't carrying any passengers and would have plenty of space for the people on the Titanic. So let me ask you this question. I would like to know, why couldn't that captain go over and pick up survivors? Was he afraid of that ice field? Or could it have been that he was kind of jealous because, you know, he didn't get the job, you know, driving those luxury white liners? You know, who knows? So if you want to put, you know, fault on some people, I would go with that Stanley Lord, you know, and say, what, he should have went over and picked the people up. So it's kind of crazy, you know. I'm getting close to the end of this hour. I'm going to read a couple more things. All right. It says, due to the threat of the ice field, large and flat expanses of ice in the ocean, Lord had halted to California for the night late around 10:20 p.m., about 80 minutes before the Titanic hit the iceberg. At the time, the Californian's position was logged at about 19 miles northeast of the Titanic. So that's basically, you know, in short form, okay, in short form, on, you know, that fateful night, you know, on April 14th, when the Titanic went down. Okay. It was sad, you know. I'm sure there were, you know, all the movies, everything like that. All the, you know, they go around to different cities and they, you know, put a big display on all kinds of items that, you know, they brought back up from the Titanic, and now they show it to people. But I like to say a lot is, if you can, try to do your own research on it. And it's pretty interesting. And what's crazy is you'll be surprised how fast you can go down rabbit holes. Yes, you can go down a lot of rabbit holes. But I just find it really, really interesting of all the stuff that happened on the ship and the reason why the ship left and what was the whole purpose of the Titanic was about. So I got to that point with this show. So this Tuesday coming up, it will definitely be the second part of the show, part two of it. And then we're going to get into why some of the things that the ship was supposed to have on the ship didn't have. And like I said earlier, you know, we're not going to call them conspiracies. We're going to call them rumors. I like that word better, rumors, because you can't get troubled by saying conspiracy. So it is getting close to the end of the show. I want to thank everybody for watching. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. If you want to be part of my show, and if you want to come on, just send me a message to the Pittsburgh Paranormal Society Facebook page, Messenger, and send me a message that you'd like to be on. Also, it's like, again, I want to thank Carnation, and I want to thank Joe Monteldo and the UPR and Talk Radio for allowing me to give you 1 hour of my time to you on Sunday nights and Thursdays. So I hope you guys, you know, have a good night. And I do hope that your week is lovely, you know. And like they say in England, put on a kettle of tea. I'll put the kettle of tea on. I like that saying. That's a lot. But thank you again for listening. And children, if you can, please go to your parents and give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And parents, please go to your children, give them a hug and tell them that you love them. And if you don't have any parents or children, find somebody and give them a hug, okay? And tell them that you love them. Because those three words, I love you, go a long way, okay? And on that note, got 2 more minutes left. And if you can hear that voice in the back, that's my brother. He's got a big voice. But everybody, please take care. Have a good night. Love one another. Give each other hugs. Because that's what we need. Okay? Good night. And see you Tuesday. Bye-bye.